Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Thanks. Good morning. My name is Philip, and I'm going to bring the message this morning. I'm excited to be here, thrilled to be here on this beautiful fall day. About that. Got some cooler weather on the way. So I want to start with a daily devotional. It's called Wisdom for Men. And this excerpt is titled, Whatever It Takes. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's Jeremiah 29:13. And the writer shares, my grandfather Pop showed me what it meant to be hungry spiritually, even to the very end. I had an encounter with him right before he died. I went to visit Pop when I was in college. It was his 79th year of life, 1 month before he passed away. As we talked in his living room, I noticed an interesting array of things on his end table. Three things in particular intrigued me. The first was a large print Bible, the second a magnifying glass, and the third a tape recorder. I knew his eyesight had been failing for years, which accounted for the first two things, but the tape recorder puzzled me. Out of curiosity, I asked him about it, and his answer astonished me. This is where I meet God every morning, and I need the magnifying glass to read my Bible. And unfortunately, by the end of the day, I sometimes forget what the Lord taught me from his word that morning. So I decided if I read the Bible and listened to it on tape, I'd double my chance of remembering it. See, my grandfather was hungry to the very end, and he was willing to do whatever it took to feed that hunger. What about you? Do you have a hungry heart for the Lord? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to satisfy it? Please open your Bibles this morning to Matthew 16, verse 21 through 28. That's our text for today.
From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those of man. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with the angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom.
Thank you, Leanne. So last week, Pastor James taught on our call to discipleship and Jesus' call to his disciples to follow me. This week, I'm going to share about our commitment to discipleship. So what is a disciple? That's a pretty simple definition, one who follows both the teacher and his teaching. So when I think about commitment, I think about my desire to stay healthy and physical fit. I have a friend who's an athletic trainer, and he encourages me to get on my treadmill about 3 times a week for 20 minutes of vigorous walking. I got to tell you, sometimes I don't meet that goal. Sometimes it's a bit of a struggle. Sometimes that recliner seems a little bit more in tune with my goals for the week. You could say I'm working towards that, but some weeks it's a little bit tough. But I need to stay faithful to the trainer's plan to enhance my health, right? So it is with the Word of God. The Bible actually says that bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Today, let's take a look at our commitment to discipleship and how to grow in that. How can we hear the Lord's voice like Grandfather Pop did? That's the million-dollar question right there. Wouldn't you love to hear the voice of God in your everyday life? Wouldn't you love to hear the voice of God when you're in HEB? Wouldn't you love to hear the voice of God when your kid asks you one of those tough, tough questions that you have a hard time defining? Wouldn't you love to hear the voice of God? So just like with physical fitness, there are strategies to discipleship, such as fasting and prayer or meditating on God's word, even fellowship with like-minded believers. These things will help you to grow in strength and commitment as a disciple. But like my treadmill, consistent activity yields greater results. Look at Matthew 16, verse 21. The scripture says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, but be raised on the third day. Jesus knew that the sacrifice that he would make would be great for you and I. And he also knew that his disciples would sacrifice as well. John 15 says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So Jesus tells us that discipleship comes at a cost. But here's the great part of that. Jesus gives us grace and mercy every day to be able to walk out that discipleship, to be able to fulfill that commitment that we have to discipleship. You can't do it on your own. I'm not Superman. I need the strength of Jesus Christ. I need his grace. I need his mercy. I need his loving kindness. I need everything that he would give me to live my daily life. Take a look at verses 22 and 23. Then Peter took him, or Jesus, aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but things of men. You see, Peter's rebuke was actually an offense to Jesus. He was denying to Jesus his destiny upon the cross. Aren't you glad that Jesus walked that out for us? Because we wouldn't be where we are today. We'd be lost and hopeless without it. So even though we don't want others to suffer, I have a bit of a soft heart. I hate to see other people suffer. It's just kind of tears me up. And so I'm sure that some of you feel that way as well. But even though we don't want others to suffer, let's be mindful of God's will. Thank God that Jesus sacrificed himself for us. So he told us in verse 23, don't be mindful of the things of men, but be mindful of the things of God. So how do we know the things of God? Well, we read his word. That's God's plan for us. Everything that pertains unto life and godliness, tells us in Peter, is in his word. Take a look at verse 24. This is actually the focal point of commitment in this message. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. This scripture right here speaks very strongly of your commitment to discipleship. If anyone desires. So how strong is our desire? The first step is to deny yourself and follow Jesus. Deny yourself. Matthew Henry commentary has a great message on, or a great statement on that. Listen to this. Self-denial and patient suffering are hard lessons, which will never be learned if we consult with flesh and blood. I love that. Let me read that again. Listen carefully to this. Self-denial and patient suffering are hard lessons which will never be learned if we consult with flesh and blood. Let us therefore consult with our Lord Jesus about these duties to self-denial and suffering for Christ. So when I'm trying to deny myself, if I'm on my recliner, that's probably where I'm going to stay. If I'm on that recliner and I cry out to Lord Jesus, I believe he's going to motivate me to get that thing vertical and get myself moving, probably towards a treadmill. So in other words, we are to look only to the grace of Jesus and not to the flesh when learning to deny ourselves. I want you to hear that over and over and over again in this message. It's the grace of Christ that he appropriated for us on his cross that makes us able to be able to do the things that we have to do, to deny ourselves and take up his cross. It is only through the power and grace of Jesus and the grace and the mercy of Jesus that we are able to do that. Amen? Furthermore, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we are not our own, but we were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. And since he purchased us salvation, he will join us in our commitment to discipleship, just like he joined the disciples 2,000 years ago. He says in his word, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And if you actually study that word out, it actually says very emphatically, "I will never, never, never leave you, nor ever, ever, ever forsake you." That's Jesus' promise to us. I know sometimes it doesn't seem that way. When you're struggling and you're looking at your own life and you're thinking, "Dude, this just ain't working for me." Cast your eyes upon Jesus. The scripture says, David says of his Lord Jesus, "I always beheld the face of the Lord before me." I just love that scripture. "I look neither to the left," well, that's your right. "I look neither to the left nor to the right, but I always beheld the face of the Lord before me." That is a key to walking with Christ. That is a vital, vital, vital key. I can't say that strong enough. That is a vital key to walking out our commitment to fellowship with Christ. So one vital way to grow in commitment is this daily study of God's word. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I got to tell you, this works for me. I love the Bible. I am wild about the Bible. I really am. When I was a teenager, I began my biblical journey in the scriptures. I started to read Our Daily Bread, which is just a small pocket-sized devotional. And I would read it every day faithfully. And I would begin to read the few scriptures that come with it. And then I began to hunger and thirst for more. So maybe I'd read a few scriptures ahead and a few behind. And then eventually I'd read the whole paragraph. And that kind of morphed into I'd read the whole chapter. And then eventually, I don't know if it was a year or 6 months or how long it was, but eventually I really began to hunger and thirst for the word. And I began to read bigger sections, like in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And that, I would be glad to tell you that that has become a lifelong habit for me. I'm 65 today, and I'm still thrilled about reading the Word. How about you? Not that you're 65. So verse 24 also gives us another strategy to commitment to discipleship. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to follow after me, let him deny himself, and look at that next part, and take up his cross. Take up his cross. Jesus took up his cross for us, right? He showed us how to do that. For Christ's disciple, that's you and I, the cross is an instrument of death that leads to life. Isn't that beautiful? Think about that for a moment. An instrument of death. There is suffering on the cross. It is not a jolly good thing for most, but it becomes an instrument of life for us. We're going to see a little bit more about that. Jesus gave his perfect life as a sacrifice for all of our sins, not some of them, not a few of them, not the ones that we think he's worthy to cover for us, but all of our sins. It's important that we get that into our hearts and in our minds. So what does it mean for a disciple to take up his cross? That's a good question. We each have our unique burdens. Watch this. That God gives us to carry. That God gives us to carry. And here's the beauty of it. God doesn't give us a shopping list as long as your arm. God generally gives us one or two main things to work on. And that's through his grace and mercy for us. I think we would explode if God actually showed us all the things that we could work on all at one time. But he doesn't do that. He's full of grace and he's full of mercy. So think about the thing that keeps coming up in your heart. Think about the thing that is reoccurring, the thing that's always in front of you. And that's probably, most likely, the thing that God wants you to work on right now. Does that make sense? So we each have our unique burdens to carry that God gives us. For instance, it might be giving up sleep for prayer or fasting. There's pain in the sacrifice and in carrying the cross. But the good news is that Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So even in the pain of the cross, God gives us a way out. He gives us a way to strengthen ourselves, to strengthen our hearts, build up our hearts. All things work together for good. That means even the pain, that means even the suffering. All things means all things. All things work together for good. See, the Holy Spirit strengthens us and enables us to faithfully bear the things that we carry. Again, he doesn't leave us alone. Jesus doesn't just say, okay, kid, have at it. The Holy Spirit daily, sometimes minute by minute, will speak to you. It was so beautiful. I had a number of people pray over me this morning, and I welcome that. I really do. And a reoccurring theme through each of the prayers was that the Holy Spirit would have his way with me this morning, that you would hear the things that God would have you to hear, not just the things that fill up here. Now, I didn't sit on my recliner and say, okay, it's time to go. I actually prepared. That wasn't really a joke, but it kind of came out that way, didn't it? I did. I actually prepared my heart. But here's the deal. Holy Spirit has full permission to interject what he wants to into the message this morning. And that's what it's like. That's what it's like for you to allow Holy Spirit to have a way in your life, to have a part of your life. So another discipleship strategy is found in joining with other believers. Real strength is found in this. It can also increase our ability to endure. So accountability promotes growth when we have our accountability with a loving and an honest relationship. So I come alongside another guy or multiple men in my life. So I have myself, then I have that other guy, then we have Jesus right in the midst. If you heard maybe a threefold cord, it's like a piece of rope made of three cords. A threefold cord is not easily broken. So the scripture says, if I fall by myself, it may be hard for me to get up, especially if I'm injured, especially if I'm in pain or suffering. But if I have a friend right there alongside me to help me up, how much the better. And then Jesus is right there with us. So accountability promotes growth and endurance as a believer. So in addition to carrying in addition to denying ourselves and taking up a cross, is a third facet of our commitment. In verses 25 and 26. Read with me here. It says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, Christ gives us grace to lose our life for him. In verse 21, he modeled that for us. It said that he was going to suffer many things at the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees, and he would be killed for us. He would actually give up his life for us. How magnificent is that? Christ, 2,000 years ago, he looked at Philip and he said, that dude's going to need some help, I tell you what. And it's true. It's all true. As disciples of Christ, we too will suffer persecution. Next week, Pastor Ronald is going to share about the cost of discipleship, and he's going to get into that more for us. But as disciples of Christ, we too will suffer persecution. And the question is, what are we willing to give up? Am I willing to give up time to sleep, maybe some of my leisure activities, maybe cut back on my leisure activities, maybe find a little balance in my life. How about the things that I want but don't really need? There are ungodly relationships that I might be a part of. How about selfishness? That's a good one. How about stuff just for the sake of stuff? I got a garage full of stuff. I don't even know what's out there anymore. I could thin some of that out, right? Make a little more time in my life for Christ. Make a little more time in my life for maybe the guy that needs to come alongside me, right? I come alongside others, but maybe somebody needs to come alongside me. Be willing to do that. Be willing to sacrifice of your life. Be willing to stretch that commitment that you have. It's not like a one and done thing where you say, okay, well, I did this and I'm off the hook now. It's a lifelong journey, ladies and gentlemen. So Jesus' example of me time, I love this. Me time's not really in the Bible. I'm kind of making a silly joke there. But Jesus' example of me time was getting up in the dead of the night and going to pray somewhere by himself. Getting up in the chilly weather because it gets cold out in the desert and going and finding a place to pray alone to his Father. And every time he did that, something magnificent would happen. You can trace that through the scriptures. Whenever Jesus went off alone by himself, some kind of miracle or something magnificent happened after that. So last week, Pastor James spoke about disciples who gave up everything to follow Jesus. And you can see the follow me is there. For whoever desires his life to save it will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Being a disciple is not easy. It takes a great deal of daily sacrifice. And I said daily. So this isn't like getting up early once a week and coming to church for an hour. Let's say one of the things that God wants me to put on my cross is to love others. So if I come to church once a week and love on somebody, I'm not really doing a whole lot of loving, am I? Because there's a lot of other days of the week and there's a lot of other hours to the day. The key is, am I going to get up Monday and drive to Houston and love those fellow drivers that are... Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, that's all we need to say about that. Am I willing to get up on Tuesday and love my spouse even though we had a disagreement that morning or maybe the night before? Am I willing to get up on Wednesday and love that person in the grocery store that cut in front of me for that last loaf of bread or whatever it is? Am I willing to get up early on Thursday or Friday or Saturday? Am I willing to bring my heart back to Christ and say, you want me to work on love, and actually tell him, give me some opportunities to love somebody? Isn't that risky business, right? Some people say when you pray for patience, watch out, you're going to get what you prayed for. Listen to Hebrews 12:2. It speaks of the joy in sacrifice. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what was the joy? Getting nails driven into his hands? Getting nails driven through his feet, that spear in the side, maybe getting a crown of huge thorns hammered onto his head? Was that the joy? Or was the joy looking right here and seeing all of you people out here today? Is it the joy in knowing that Brandon's going to set something down for him, Braden's going to set something down in his life that God's been after him to let go of? That's the joy that Jesus has. Think about that. 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross for us with you and me in mind. How beautiful is that? Jesus gave himself as our perfect sacrifice so that all our sins are forgiven and that we are righteous before God. And all we simply have to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says that thou shalt be saved, absolutely saved. And that's the part that we have to play in it. Jesus isn't going to barge into your life and say, you're my disciple. You follow him. That's what the sign says, right? Follow me. Make a conscious decision to follow Christ. What is he telling you to follow him in today? I think about 2 Corinthians. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This is like one of my favorite Bible scriptures of all time. Behold, old things are passed away. All things have become new. There's a new Philip on the inside of me just waiting to come out. There's a new something on the inside of you just waiting to come out. Do you want to see that? We get thrilled about a shiny new iPhone or a shiny new car or a shiny new whatever. How about the shiny new you that Jesus has for you? Is that thrilling? It's thrilling to me. So we have to give up the old to receive the new. Look at this Bible passage, 27 and 28. This concludes this section of the text here. It says, "For the Son of Man will come in glory of his Father with his angels. Then he will reward," that's a key word, "he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." We are to look forward to the heavenly rewards of our commitment to discipleship. God has extravagant rewards for you. He is thrilled to pour out those rewards on you. Some of these things we get now, but also we'll get the majority, I believe, after Christ's return. It says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive for the good the things that we have done in him. How about that? That should be part of your hope. That should be part of the things that get your motor running. That's part of the things that gets me off of my recliner. How about that? So when we live as Jesus lived, by denying ourselves, taking up our crosses, and following him, we grow in commitment to discipleship. That impacts those in our community and beyond. So the million-dollar question is, how will you commit to Christ today? How will you commit to growing in discipleship today? Let's pray. From the Daily Wisdom for Men devotional, we can also be inspired by Grandfather Pop's prayer, who prayed, "Father, I am hungry for you. Help me do whatever it takes to feed my spiritual hunger. First, Lord God, give us the courage to commit our lives to you as Lord. Give us the grace to grow in discipleship, even as we disciple others in our homes, community, and nation, setting as an example of Christ set for us. Setting an example as Christ set for us. Holy Spirit, help us to persevere in our daily commitment of sacrifice by denying ourselves, taking up our God-ordained crosses, and faithfully following Jesus. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.